She's very good friends with Don. And he was a, he'd been a brother, a religious brother.
Uh-huh.
And he came out. She, they were very, very close friends. Very close. They could, they would, could live together, etc. And Don was published. A piece of his art was in the, I think it was the New York, what was it, the Time magazine or
mm-hmm.
Newsweek.
Mm-hmm.
And Don also, well, he died very young.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Well, let's see, if there are any, can you think
of any? Lost a little Indian girl, needs to be said. Well, I shouldn't say that. Never mind.
So actually, since we've been talking tonight, you've mentioned quite a few suicides. Was that pretty common amongst in the lesbian community years ago, do you think?
I don't know, Liz. I don't know. Just there seems to be, there's something that's not self-accepting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Was Skip able to accept herself?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What do you think about her allowed her to do that?
Well, she never had a date with a man.
Uh-huh.
She never had any desire to.
Uh-huh.
She liked her independence.
Uh-huh. And that would be that she was therefore glad that she was the way she was in
mm-hmm.
some sense.
Mm-hmm. She used to have her suits made by the Hong Kong tailor.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. She had her pants all made at, I can't think of the name of the store on Main Street. I don't think it's there anymore. But we used to always go down there every year and she'd get two pairs of pants made by a male man tailor.
Hmm. Had she been going there for a long time?
Mm-hmm. And then when the Hong Kong people came over, around the 60s, then she started going down there and getting things made, to get two or three things made.
Huh. And she would only wear those to go out, right?
Mm-hmm. It was before women would wear pants to work.
She'd only be able to wear them when she went out. And that would be part of the attraction of going to the bars?
Mm-hmm.
Is that you could get dressed up
and
go out. People couldn't wear them if they went out to a restaurant or anything, right?
No. I think that was before my time. Yeah, I would have been very loath to wear pants sometimes when I'd go out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did you ever talk about roles with Skip?
No, but she was she was a butch.
Mm-hmm.
That was established. It wasn't even something we think about because it was there. It was.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What was it that made her butch in her mind?
She was not dependent on anyone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the thought of being dependent. She certainly, I imagine, well, she would know herself well enough to know that she had some kind of a, one has to have some kind of an emotional, dependence is positive too, because you can be dependent when you know that the other person is dependable.
Mm-hmm.
So Skip probably recognized that she was maybe emotionally dependent on me, but she also knew she couldn't be, or with any other lover she ever had. But other than that, she knew what she was about. She knew where she was coming from. When she was a kid in Meadville,
mm-hmm.
the man that he didn't invent the zipper. The zipper was an Indian tool.
Mm-hmm.
However, the man that got the patent, he left in his will that every winter, every Thanksgiving, the poor kids in the city would get a pair of boots and a pair of shoes. So every Thanksgiving, because Skip was, had been raised as a poor kid. Every Thanksgiving, we went out and Skip got a new pair of shoes.
Huh.
Her pair of boots. So she remembered her roots. She's very Catholic, in her thinking.
Was she raised Catholic?
No, I mean with a small C.
Oh, I see what you mean, very Catholic. Well, this is kind of like a difficult question. I'm not even sure what I'm asking, but I remember I told you before that rules is something that it's quite difficult to fully understand. But in her mind, what made somebody a femme? Was it simply that she knew she was attracted to femmes, and so somebody she was attracted to was a femme? Or were there other things that she liked? Or you might not be able to answer it for her.
Well, I was just doing a body study of all the women that she was in love with, and they were feminine.
Mm-hmm.
They were feminine. Skip was very small-breasted. So when she was in college, when the girls were getting dressed for the prom or whatever, graduation, they put a Band-Aid or tape across the breasts, probably for the strapless gowns.
Uh-huh.
So Skip never owned a bra. If she wore a white shirt in the summertime with a pair of pants, she would put two Band-Aids over her nipples. And one time she was going somewhere, and Marge Taylor had some... they were at the train station, and Marge had a package that was coming undone, and she sort of reached in and took the Band-Aid off Ruth and fastened this thing, which sounds like Marge.
You heard this is a story,
yeah,
right?
Skip told me.
That's funny.
Yeah, well, you have to, if you're wearing a light cotton shirt, nipples would show.
Right.
So that was logical.
But she never wore anything like breast binders or anything like that. We've heard of some people who did that.
No.
Did she have narrow hips?
Mm-hmm. She always said if she had a child, it would be a boneless fetus.
To get through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's funny. But she never thought of having a child, or did she?
No, never.
It was just like a joke. Did Skip drink a lot?
Mm-hmm.
Always, or do you think it happened later, or what?
It was more increased. It was a marked increase as she got older. But she always drank a lot. In fact, that was one of the things that I sort of thought that maybe had happened through the relationship with me. And it was somebody that knew her from a long, long time ago. They said, oh, Windsor Skip always drank. So that was sort of nice to hear.
Mm-hmm. Right, so you didn't have to internalize it and blame it on yourself. Well, I don't know. Can you think of any other stories that you think would be helpful in thinking about the past from her memories at all? Was her longest...
Well, I told you the thing, I don't know if you got it on tape, about being, remember I mentioned Sonny that had gone with Helen?
Mm-hmm.
And then Skip being in the hospital elevator one day, and Sonny was there in the elevator with some man that worked for the state.
Uh-huh.
And so Sonny introduced them, and the fellow said... Why don't you write, one of the better civil service exams? I'll make sure you're on top.
Mm-hmm.
But she didn't. But that was just being. But that connection was mafia connection. It was not gay connection.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did you know how sometimes in modern day life that people look down on femmes in some way. Did you get that feeling from Skip at all as she talked about her relationships in the past that she looked down on feminine women?
No.
Not at all.
Huh? Mm-mm.
But rather she appreciated those qualities. Is
mm-hmm.
that? Was her longest relationship with you?
Longest living relationship.
Longest living relationship. What do you mean by oh?
Well, because if she had an emotional thing with Liz, with Betts.
Uh huh. Right, but they
never went away. I'm sure.
Uh-huh. So then her other relationships were much shorter than that, weren't they?
Mm-hmm. I think Isabel, the relationship with Isabel was about 6 or 7 years.
And is that the person she saw after Betts, or was there?
Yeah, it was one of the people after Betts. It was a woman she went with before she went with me.
Oh, she went with Isabel before she went with you.
Mm-hmm.
Right before.
Mm-hmm.
How long had they been...
separated? About 2 years.
Oh, so that's not too long. And what about, who did she go with after Betts when she finally got into...
She went with Marge and Liz and... what's her name? Oh, can't think of her name. Rita.
Rita. And she also went with June, too, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Right. And were all those relationships like 2 or 3 years?
No, months maybe.
Months, not as long as that.
I think they went, maybe they went up and down, because it was after Betts had left. So I know she was dating 2 or 3 people at the same time.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. And then she didn't get into a serious one-to-one relationship that whole period until she went with Isabel?
She lived with Rita.
Uh-huh.
For a bit, and the apartment was right behind the lab. And Skip was, I think she must have also been in call at the hospital or something. I don't know. But one night the phone rang, and Skip got up to answer it. And she fell over her foot because Rita had tied her foot to the bed.
Why had she done that?
Maybe she did. Maybe Skip was making too many house calls. But Skip was mad, and she picked up the iron. And Rita was at the end of the couch, and Skip said she had it over, and she just saw the stark terror in her face, and just threw it away. Mm-hmm. But that was, I think, quite a rocky relationship.
So really, between Betts and Isabel, there was not a stable kind of relationship at all. What's that, a period of 8 years? No.
Well, Skip was 43,
uh-huh.
42, take off 2, okay, and then take off 7 from there, which bring you down to 33,
uh-huh.
And then whatever she did, and then let's just say Betts left when Skip was about 28 or so.
So it was about 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
But she wasn't. So she's clearly a person who... chooses her relationships carefully. Then.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say that? Well, how would you describe it? That's my...
Well, yeah, she didn't... After that period of time when she dated a number of women, she didn't like that. So she was one-to-one.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Did she have a philosophy about relationships and how you make them go or...
No, I don't think so. She could say some very pointed things to me at times, but even though they might have hurt my ego, but she certainly stirred up my brain.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But she was never hurtful. Never hurt. If she ever said anything, it was would be to help you understand yourself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm. And did she ever have any close friends who were femmes, or was it usually that she went out with femmes and that her close friends were butchers, or don't you think that's the case?
Well, the thing is, you see, Sox and June had lived in Canada here, so they had been neighbors. But then they split up, and remember, Liz, there was a fair amount of heavy drinking going on.
Mm-hmm.
And we maybe didn't see one another that much because we didn't want to drink and drive. Mm-hmm. Really messed things up. And so gradually we got to that we just didn't see, I didn't drive, period. And I don't think that they needed one another, which is the way it should be. But it's funny that I can only think, and I'm not being a masochist, but I can only think that it was probably because I was so much younger.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't have any decent conversations.
Well, I was really asking you something else, though. I was asking you more, if you think in her early years, was there a difference? Did she, because she was butch, that her close friends would be butch, and that she'd only date femmes? Or was it possible for somebody like Skip to have a close friend who was also a femme, who wasn't a lover?
I don't know of any.
You don't know of any?
Except myself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And do you know from the early days of her let's say we're talking now about the 40s and the 50s, so that's a big time period. Who were other close Butch friends other than Sox?
No.
That they were the primary ones. Mm-hmm. Did Pinky become a friend later on?
Yeah, Pinky was quite a bit. Pinky, I think, is even younger than I am.
That's what I... Is she that young?
She's, yeah, she might be about 41.
Can you think of any other older ones?
No. We had some good... We had a good friendship with a couple of males, gay men.
Gay men.
Yeah. We had, in fact, we spent a couple of years almost entirely. And then I had gay men friends from Toronto that were always here. So the thing is, I think I probably influenced a lot of how her life changed. And that's why I don't have recollections of her old friends.
I see.
Because her crowd changed to a younger crowd.
Right, right. I thought she might have told you someone about it. Well, let's see. Can you think of anything else that would be important to tell about Skip's pre-1960 years that she ever told you about?
Mm-mm.
Did Skip like to dance?
Didn't know how to.
She didn't know how to, huh?
I shouldn't say that. She used to shuffle when she was... She used to slow dance when she was younger.
Uh-huh.
But then, I think, too, because I was a dancer, she didn't... She felt a little intimidated, so she didn't.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Did she like to sing or stuff like that?
No. No, she wasn't. She had a nice voice, but she wasn't a singer.
What about, what did she think of the women's movement and the gay movement?
I think she probably just viewed it, just like she viewed the civil rights movement. She didn't feel personally. I didn't feel any identity with the women's movement.
Mm-hmm.
And I was younger than she. So I don't imagine she felt much about it either.
She didn't feel much about the women's movement at all?
No.
Why do you think that is?
Because she'd already established herself. She didn't. She was into other things, other interests.
Mm-hmm.
Go
ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, as I was. Uh-huh. I'd already done it. I'd already dealt with a lot of the chauvinism, and et cetera, and protecting your job and protecting your identity and so on. I'd already done it. So there was nothing the women's movement could do then for me.
Uh-huh. Did she never speak of discrimination against women in her field at all?
No.
Never.
But then she, having her own lab, if she had been out in the hospital community, she'd have been more involved with other people too. But she was in her own lab.
Right, that's
all
true.
The time. So it was very limiting socially for both of us, in many respects.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. But when she went to school, there couldn't have been too many women taking a course in biochemistry.
She never talked about it.
She never talked about it.
Mm-mm.
That's interesting. Okay, so what do you think about the gay movement?
Who? Skip. Well, the only thing I remember about it myself was the Mattachine Society being downtown. And it was in a kind of a dirty bar, which most gay bars are
mm-hmm.
dirty. And we'd been there a couple of times, and there wasn't anything very interesting. And then the Mattachine was publishing here, and initially it was all very confusing.
Uh-huh.
So we didn't get into it because it just seemed bandwagon or something.
Uh-huh. Did, like, either of you think about that this is a good thing, that gay people should be treated equally, and it was just, is that what you all assumed, but you just didn't feel that you all were the people who were going to
mm-hmm.
deal
yeah.
with it, or what?
Yeah, well, there's an expression, there's no revolutionaries after 40. You've heard that?
No.
Well, I think that was the feeling. If you've already done it, you're just too tired, or you don't have to be involved. You've already established yourself, or you like the system the way it is, or you have learned to deal with the system,
mm-hmm.
or live in it. So,
that's probably true. Everybody has learned by 40 how to deal with it in some
way. By the age of 40, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think the women's movement has been good for me, though, now, because it was sort of a crucial stage in aging, between 40 and 43.
Mm-hmm.
And having gone through a bereavement, I'm very happy it's here now, for me.
Mm-hmm. In what sense?
Well, because of one, I have the opportunity of meeting more women my own age.
Mm-hmm.
Which I won't do in a bar. In the bar, they're all in their 20s.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. And then, too, a store like Emma's, where one can go and just... it's sort of a fantasy that we had when we were younger. Not to have a gay bookstore, necessarily, but to have a bookstore. I think everyone has that fantasy. And so it's nice that Emma's is there, that a lesbian can go there and be comfortable talking with another lesbian.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
really nice. Not even talking with them, just being in the environment, feeling the exchange of energy or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Was Skip at all a religious person?
Reverend.
What does that mean?
Reverend? Well, religion implies a lot of ritual
mm-hmm.
and window dressing trapping that are not important at all. She was reverend.
Mm-hmm. I understand now. That's the thing. When you all were younger, let's say in the 60s, and then if you can remember from Skip's life before then, did women who saw one another or got together, did they ever think of forming a gay group to do anything about the discrimination against gays or the ill feeling towards gay? Did you ever heard of anybody trying to form a group before Manishing?
No, the only thing that we had talked about, never seriously, but it was a thought that whose time had not come. It's here now.
Uh-huh.
The thinking was that we should have some kind of a retirement home for lesbians. And that still would be very valid today.
And you all would talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? How would you talk about it? What ideas did you have?
Oh, just all living together. Maybe buying like a four-apartment building, four-apartment, six-apartment
mm-hmm.
or something. And all just living in the same house, apartment house. And, but we never... None of us were old enough to even think about it.
And these thoughts would go on with Skip, too?
Mm-hmm.
She'd be part of them?
But it was joking, but also truth, the irony
mm-hmm.
underneath was there.
That's true. It would be a good idea
mm-hmm.
today. I know my friend Betty and I always talk about that we should make sure we have a place to retire
mm-hmm.
for a lot of lesbians.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Do you think it's easier for people coming out today?
Mm-hmm.
Since there's been a gay movement.
Mm-hmm. I do. I think parents have gotten such a scare with drugs in particular and alcohol secondly, that if their kids said I'm gay, they'd say thank God. That's true. I think so, Liz. I think they'd say thank God. Better that than being into drugs.
That's interesting. So you think it's kind of like that if you're leading a straightforward life and you're not into drugs and stuff, your parents really aren't going to care. Do you know firsthand people who've had an easier time coming out?
No.
Can you see the effects of the gay movement now, can you see any differences it makes in gay life at all?
In gay life? Well, the only difference I can see now is, for instance, now, as you know, Rosie, at, say, 11 o'clock on a Saturday night or Tuesday night or Thursday night or whatever night, you might have a great influx great, let's say 20, influx of people that you haven't seen before in a gay bar, because they're women who have been to a woman's workshop or concert or something, where in the bar before, you just didn't get a busload of people coming in. And that's nice.
Huh. So you'd say the bars before, that it was pretty much the same crowd and they would be there?
Mm-hmm. Unless some people came in from out of town or from out of town. You wouldn't see a lot of new faces.
Hmm. Do you think the gay community is larger now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and my attitude before was that I wouldn't even have... No, I'm saying before I got involved, say, in Gay Pride Week.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Even though I'd had relationships with, let's say, straight women, I never pursued it. Whereas now I'm a little more open about my emotions. A little more overt. A little more overt. I like myself better.
And you think the gay movement made a difference in
mm-hmm.
that?
Yeah. Because we're so unisex now, which wasn't created by the gay society, but because we're so unisex, there's less of a reason. When the gay community was into role-playing, then if you looked at a woman and she was in a dress, you could also think, maybe she's not gay. Whereas today, the costume, whether she's wearing pants, jeans, or a dress, doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
In those days, it drew a line. You might even be a little hesitant to get to know someone because they had the trappings of being maybe the same as you. Like, they may have looked butch or they may have looked femme, and so you were hampered by that. Do you follow me?
Yeah, I think I do. That, well, also, my impression from talking with you is that you're a person who didn't follow so strictly the rules of roles. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Is that a
mm-hmm.
fair? Do you think that a lot of people will like you, or did you experience yourself as unusual?
Well, the thing is, what was unusual about me? Unusual about me. It's really not unusual. It's only that I knew I wasn't. Other people could not admit to their, say, bisexuality, and it may not even be bi. It may not even be sexual. But people were very loath to even consider that. And frankly, they would have been slapped down verbally or something, or even emotionally or in some way, by their peers, if they had ever let it be known that they might have any trace of bisexuality. Everyone seemed to almost think that they were born gay, and oh God, you know, if you put on a skirt at one point, if you put on a skirt or a dress, well, you were on your way out of the community, because gay women didn't wear feminine things like that. That was a pressure. It was a pressure on a family. Certain clothes. If you look too feminine, well, think, oh God, you know, because you didn't appeal to them, so much because you were feminine. You appealed to them because you were gay. So if you were really feminine looking, you were chastised. I was chastised. I was judged by older women. Because I look, you know, they would see something and say, well, she's wearing that to attract a male. That's what their thinking was.
That doesn't make a lot of sense to me, because I would have thought the more feminine women always wore feminine clothes.
Oh, there was a line drawn.
There was a line drawn.
Mm-hmm. Huh. My God, you practically wouldn't even be one of the, you practically wouldn't want to have been seen on the street with a man.
Mm-hmm.
If another lesbian, well, for me, I'm only talking about me now. If another lesbian would see me with a man, it might not occur. In fact, I did the same thing. I did the same thing with one of my friends. I was at the races, and I saw Grace standing with two men, and I turned to another friend and I said, what's Grace doing with those two men? Right away there was a judgment. What, she's into men?
Mm-hmm.
And it turned out to be a brother and his friend that had flown over from England.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So even being, unless a man was kind of very feminine, we all were inclined to have closed minds.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's interesting because you brought this up in relation. My impression was also that in terms of roles, that although, let's say, when you went with Skip, in that relationship, you were definitely femme, right?
But she used to wear chinos and white shirts.
Mm-hmm.
And she bought her clothes at the Windsor shop.
Mm-hmm.
And she bought stuff at Hangers. And she always wore a London Fog raincoat. She bought me boys' pajamas. Remember she wore boys' pajamas? She bought